Blog Talk Radio.
Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, cousins, friends, sons and daughters, uncles, aunts, and grandparents. I'm so glad you're my family. Oh, I'm so glad.
Which is one of the featured World of Ink Network sites. We are excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about student and school safety. We're in the process of trying to get our guest, President Kevin Quinn of the National Association of School Resource Officers, but he is an actual working officer, so we haven't been able to contact him, so I'm sure it's because he's got something going on at his school right now, and that's why we can't get him on the phone. But this is your host, Virginia S. Grenier, and Keisha Burcham. How are you doing, Keisha?
I'm doing quite well. How about you?
I'm good, and I've been so excited about doing the show, and I talked to Kevin last week. I sent him an email, and we're all good to go, and now we can't get him on the phone. I'm going, oh, no, I'm sure. I know when I talked to him, he said that he was going to be, you know, they had just had spring break last week. He's out in Arizona area, out in the state of Arizona, and they just got back this week. So I have a feeling we can't get a hold of him because something's going on. So Marcia is going to try and track him down.
Isn't that the way it always is?
What was that?
Isn't that the way it always is?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I mean, he's an actual school resource officer. I mean, he works in a school doing exactly what this show's about. So I'm sure an issue came up. But just so our listeners know a little bit about who NASRO is, that's the abbreviation for the National Association of School Resource Officers. It's dedicated to providing the highest quality of training to school-based law enforcement officers. So these are actual police officers that have chosen to, instead of working, you know, giving people tickets or, you know, that kind of thing, they work in high schools, junior highs, intermediate schools, and in that kind of, in my area, we don't have any in elementary schools, and that was one of the things I was going to ask Kevin when, if we can get him on the show, was if they do have school resource officers in elementary school, but that's what they do, and the idea is for them being inside the school is to promote safer schools, to help with the bully, you know, the bullying issue in schools, to help kids have a safer school environment, but also to let them know that, you know, police officers are there not just to make sure we uphold the law, but to also be there as someone we can turn to when we're in crisis and in need ourselves. So, and also, you know, show them to help empower the children in their own leadership roles. So they do a lot, and NASRO, what they do is they actually have training and conferences for police officers around the United States. So I don't know if our Utah school resource officers are a member of them or not. I was able to find that information out, but I know there's quite a few. And I know, Keisha, you're saying you guys don't have school resource officers in your school.
Oh, we do
out
now.
There. Oh, you do now?
We do now.
You do, you do now.
Always have it in the We always have them in the high schools, and I'm in a district that's just K through 8. So when they leave 8th grade from our district, they go to the county, and they have them there. And we also had one in our middle school because we only have two middle schools, and my district has 9 schools. And we had one in the middle school. But now, as of next year anyway, there will be one in the intermediate school, and there will be one in every elementary school, and there will be one in our whole K-8 building that's another part of our district. So they'll be everywhere. And in our county system, Williamson County, they've already got them in the elementary schools and everywhere as of the end of this year. So it's gotten pretty, there's been a huge push for that. for all those many reasons, you know, that you were talking about. It's not just about intruders. As a matter of fact, we had some people come and speak to our district. It's some kind of a special safety group, CPTED. I forget who they even are, but they're a group that comes around and investigates schools. And they said, you know, that really, because of the issue that happened and because of the shooting being such a huge newsworthy event that just doesn't seem to go away, we focus a lot on that. But he said, really, we get so focused on guns and shooting that we kind of lose perspective. The bigger dangers, he said, that bees actually kill more school children than anything else. We have to be more concerned about things like allergies and common dangers, accidents, natural disasters, chemical leaks, domestic violence situations, much more so than the rogue intruder that might come in and commit a heinous crime, which is kind of what spearheaded this effort. So that's kind of what they told us that I thought was rather interesting. I didn't realize we had so many deaths from allergic reactions.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's, and what you're talking about is so true, Keisha, because, you know, as tragic as what happened on the East Coast is, and in Connecticut, I mean, it is, it's tragic. I mean, I was in high school when Columbine happened, and I had a friend who was at that high school. Now, he was not one of the students who was injured. He was, you know, on another side of the school, so even though they were locked down in their classroom, I mean, they heard the, you know, he heard the commotion. You know, we were juniors in high school when this happened. I mean, I wasn't there. I was in California going to high school, but you know, you get my drift. And and I remember it was a knee jerk reaction. A lot of parents had knee jerk reactions to. And I'm not saying school safety is important. It really, really is. And I know a lot of our school resource officers out here in Southern Utah, and they're wonderful men and women. I enjoy talking to them. They're very, you know, enthusiastic about being in the schools and working with the kids and all of that. And I'm glad to see them because, I mean, we didn't have it growing up. But I think sometimes we go a little overboard. But I do like the premise behind it. And I kind of knew what the idea was behind the school resource officers way before. I didn't even know this national association even existed until just recently because I was asking my husband, you know, is there anybody that he can think of that might have time, you know, in our area that can come on the show and talk about this? And I know I've been talking to you through email and about doing this. And he's like, no, I really don't. We have so many meetings planned. And so I was, you know, hunting and calling and talking to him, like, you know, there's this national association. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that this has become such a big deal. And I think it's a great thing because when my son started going to the intermediate school and junior high and high school, you know, when he's at those age levels, we always went to open house. And part of it's because, again, my husband works, you know, with the school resource officers and with what he does in his position in the city. But we walked right into, you know, always walk in every school year and introduce our son to him and say hi. But they flat out, and I really think, you know, if schools have a school resource officer, I really think it's important parents do that with their kids, because even though those officers know my husband and I, and of course they give my son a little bit more of a spill than they probably would the average student, but the first thing out of their mouth is, we're here to be, you know, to help you, and we're here to, you know, to empower you and to help you learn leadership roles and to take responsibility. And, you know, if something's not going good with the teacher or something's not going great at home, you know, you're welcome to come into my office and sit down. Because they have offices in the schools for these officers. And you're welcome to come in here and sit down. So if a child doesn't feel like they can go talk to their counselor or don't have a teacher they feel like they can turn to, if they have a school resource officer, that's another person they can turn to and talk to, which I think is phenomenal, you know, because we didn't have that. I don't know. I'm sure you didn't have that either, Grisha, growing up. We didn't have that at our school. It was like you either went to your counselor or you went home and talked to mom and dad if you could, and that was about it. So I think it's great there's more opportunity for kids to find somebody they can turn to and get help and find somebody to be a role model for them and help them through those hard times. Did I lose you, Keisha? Oh, no. I think I might have lost Keisha Burcham, too. We're just having a day here on our show.
I'm here.
Oh, you are there. Okay, I'm like, you're so quiet.
I don't know what happened. No, what I was going to say is that the thing about the SROs is that they're trained differently. You know, they know a lot of a lot of our kids in middle school, they have legal questions. You know, they have questions about things that can happen if they get themselves in a minor conflict with the law. They have questions about what really happened, you know, if my parents have a domestic violence situation. And I can talk to kids about, you know, what's going on at home and how to maybe handle some conflict or stay out of it. I can call DCS about things. But these police officers know how the law works day to day, what they can realistically expect to happen, what really will happen if you say you report your father for beating up your mother. I mean, you know, I can maybe tell them that might be the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do or whatever, but the policeman can really tell them step by step what the legal process will be. And I think a lot of kids need to know that, you know. There's a lot of disclosure about lots of different things that's scary for kids because they don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know exactly what's going to happen with the legal system, but a police officer often has a real good, I mean, they know, that's what they do. And they can give kids real answers and not just pat answers. And I think that's really important for kids to be able to go to somebody that's trained that way.
Yeah, and that's true. And the thing, too, about these school resource officers as well, and again, this is just my experience here in southern Utah, but I'm assuming it's, you know, it would be this way. These officers, they don't go through the academy with the idea of I'm going to be a school resource officer. They go through the police academy just like every officer does. And it's after they've gotten past their, you know, newbie status, and I don't know what they're actually called, but when they're, you know, first out there working this, you know, their beats, they're out on the streets first, you know, doing
right.
What regular officers do. It's after they've put in X amount of time that they are able then to apply and ask to be a school resource officer. So these are trained police men and women who have been, you know, doing it for X amount of years as a regular officer before they go into the school. So they do, and if they don't know the answer, the thing is they report to the chief of police, you know, and the deputy chief of police and, you know, whatever, you know, sergeant or captain that they have over them as well. So, I mean, they have a chain of command just like, you know, because they are part of a police department that they go through that they can find the answers to. So you're right. They do have a lot more training than, you know, than just your typical school counselors would or whatever on certain issues. And what I like about them being in the school, at least because, like, from someone like myself who grew up in the L.A. area, I mean, we definitely, as kids, had a, you know, an opinion of what police officers were about. You know, kids watch TV, so they get this stereotype of good or bad or indifference to police officers, and especially when you get into the inner-city schools. You know, these kids definitely, you know, from their own experience or other family members' experience, have usually more of a negative thought process to police officers. And having them in the schools, my son said that, you know, he actually, when he had to pick to do a report for his English, I think it was financial literacy class. I don't think it was his English literacy. I think it was financial literacy. They had to do a job shadow, so he had to pick a profession. And so he decided to shadow one of the officers for the day and report about it. And I don't think, you know, most kids would have thought about doing that if it wasn't for the fact there was an officer in the school that they could talk to and were used to their presence and realize these are just, you know, regular people who care about us just like our teachers do, just like our counselors do, just like, well, hopefully most parents do, you know, kind of scenario. So I think with inner-city schools, as this rolls out more and more and more school districts are doing this, I think it'll help at a younger age not have that negative connotation with inner-city kids toward police officers. At least I hope.
Yeah.
You know, because I know that's a big thing for us, for our officers out here, is to really build, you know, yes, we know there's not everybody's perfect, and yes, there are officers that do bad things and end up, you know, being, you know, kicked off the force and stuff or whatever, or, you know, or some of them are a little bit more gruff than others, but we're not all that way, and most of us do care, and they're able to share that presence with these kids so they understand it's not, they're out to get me.
Right. And I think sometimes that's perpetuated by parents and people who have been in trouble with the law, who you know, the kids grow up seeing the law as bad people because parents have been in trouble, you know, and probably rightly in trouble, but the kids grow up thinking the police is the enemy, you know. When the police come around, the parents are upset and angry because the parents end up getting in trouble. And I think that sometimes causes kids to have this fear of the police because the parents have done things that have kind of caused the police to have to present themselves in a not-so-friendly light sometimes. So I think being able to see them as friends and helpful people can kind of help tone some of that down too.
Right. I want to let our listeners know, just so they can learn more about school resource officers and this particular group that does do training. They actually hold a conference for school resource officers every year. If you go to NASRO, NASRO.org, you can actually learn more about it. Same for school districts. If there's any teachers or counselors that are listening to our show, later on podcast or now live, you can go there. You can learn more about it. You can contact them, find out, how you guys can get this put into your own school district, county, because it really is a great, thing. And what's interesting about this group, too, is because when I started doing my search, I was kind of curious, like, where are, some of the different, school resource officers? Because, like I said, I lived in California, and I've never seen them, and even when I have family that teach still in Southern California, and like, no, we don't have any. I mean, it might be changing because I know, like you just said, Keisha, you have them now, but I was able to find out because they have regional directors, and they're in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, the Virgin Islands, Delaware, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Michigan, Iowa, Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Texas, Alaska, Idaho, Nevada. They're now in California. I don't know where. Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, and Utah. So they have quite a big reach right now. And that's just their regional directors. So who knows what other states they're in. Yeah, it's really starting to expand. And I think that's a great thing. And they do share on their website their bylaws for elected officials, so what gets those people into elected positions. They share about the organization. It's really cool, and it really, I love to seeing this, out there because, parents are concerned right now because it does seem like gun violence is up. It does seem like kids being bullied in school has gone up. And there was, and I was kind of, when I was doing my hunting and searching and stuff, I came across their director, and his name's Mo, and I think it's, I don't think it's Candy, I think it's Kennedy. But he was kind of, he did a blog talk radio show and with Dr. Bernie James, and he was kind of talking about some of the statistics out there, and it says that juvenile arrests have decreased, falling 50% during the period of school resource officer programs being put into place into schools. 50% have gone down just because of school resource officer programs being put into place. That's pretty impressive.
Is that a specific state?
He doesn't say if it's a specific state or not, so I couldn't tell you. It was just a general thing. Yeah, I mean, that's really good. I mean, even if it was in a certain state, that's really good. So I thought that was really, really impressive. He also in his interview talked about how school crime goes down, incidences of school associated deaths goes down, violence, non-fatal victimization, which is basically kids being bullied, people twittering or putting stuff on Facebook kind of stuff. So that's why it's non-fatal. Usually,
right.
Theft has goes down when you have school resource officers, and they find that parents get more involved in the school as well.
Huh.
That's pretty interesting, to just by putting one officer in a school,
by the feeling of the presence. I know that we haven't had our full time officer towards the end of this year. I mean, he's going to be full time next year, but we've kind of had to share with the middle school for the end of this year. And our school, our police department, we've just kept a police car parked in front of the school. Even when there's not a policeman in there, just having the police car parked in the front of the school, according to these people that came and did their little investigation of what we could work on, just that presence of the car tends to deter crime of any kind because just seeing the car there causes people to think twice, you know, because there's somebody in there that has legal authority, not just school authority. And I don't know when they're in there or not. I didn't even know when they were in there or not. I knew the car was there, but I didn't know. You know, sometimes there was somebody in our building, sometimes there wasn't.
Yeah.
So we never really knew.
Yeah, I would say I know with at my son's high school, the officer's car, and I don't know which school resource officer he has right now at his high school, but it sits not directly in front of the school, but it's when you pull into the parking lot, when you go to make your left to go find parking, you see it before you see any of the other open slots or all the student cars.
Yeah, it's visibility.
So it has a good presence, and my son has even made the comment, you know, that there's kids, they'll start thinking about ditching, but they see that car there, and they're like, well, because the windows are, you know, kind of tinted toward the back and stuff. They're like, I don't know if he's going
to
walk out or if he's in his
car,
he might see me. Yeah. So even kids wanting to take off and ditch don't happen as often. Well, at least they don't try and go out that side because the car's sitting there.
Well, you know, you don't have the people wanting to vandalize cars and steal things out of cars. It deters all that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of schools, too, as they've been rolling out, having school resource officers are also starting to put in the cameras and stuff as well into the schools so they can, you know, and I don't know if they're routed because I haven't really paid attention to that. But, you know, I know a lot of our schools now have the security cameras in place as well, and I don't know if they're in the school resource officer's office or not, or if they're only in the main office or how the cameras are. But I know with that added with the resource officer in the school, it's made a huge difference in our high schools around here and how the kids behave.
We've had those cameras for years, and that's been very helpful just in situations where, and you don't always get on camera what you want to get, and after a few days, you know, it'll erase itself and start over. But I can't tell you how many times the camera has solved the problem when somebody calls and something happened in the hall, and there's two different stories. And then the camera tells the story. And, you know, when you have a child on camera hitting somebody, you know, and starting something, it's hard to argue with that. And we've had on the bus, it's been for years. And once they have those cameras are there, that stops a lot of stuff, too, because, you know, you can't lie when you're watching the video.
Yeah, exactly. Now, did you guys, since you've had the school resource officers put into place in your guys' district, has there been any additional training or any shared information with you guys on how students can stay safer, how schools in general can
safer? We had these people came, like I said, and I don't know why, I can't remember what their crime prevention through environmental design, I think is their whole, we had a big meeting, they met with all our administration. They came to all of our schools, each school, and spent a couple of hours. They watched kids being dismissed. They watched kids coming in off the buses and parking lots. They walked the halls. They checked doors. We had lockdown drills. And they did all that. And then they had a big parent meeting where parents could come and talk about, you know, how we did and that kind of thing. But a lot of things were put into place that are, like, simple types of things. Having kids walk in double lines as opposed to one long one with the teacher following so you can see them all and you don't have one end of the line turning the corner. Keeping window shades open, moving things like drink machines and things, which we don't actually have anymore except in certain places, that are out of the line of the hallway. They said that displaying more kids-appropriate murals and artwork and that kind of thing promotes a healthier atmosphere. Not letting kids, we've always had kids, we start at 7. And we've got a lot of parents that want to go to work and they want to, you know, maybe they should be at work at 7. They want to drop their kids off at like 6:30. And true, our custodians are in the building like at 6, and there are a lot of teachers that are too, but they're not there to supervise children at that time. They're not responsible for children until 7. And, you know, I think in the past our district had always felt like maybe, you know, well, if they're on our campus, they're our responsibility, so we have to let them in and supervise them, or at least let them in. But the truth is, they were coming in, and they were going in the gym where they were supposed to go, and some were playing basketball, and they probably weren't unsafe, but at the same time, if something happened to them, whose responsibility is that? We don't open until 7, but if our door's open, and see the other side of that is you got parents saying, well, it's 20 degrees outside. Well, you know, I hate it, but school doesn't open until 7. So, to the end of this year, what we had to do We tell all the parents, nobody comes in till 7. Sorry, you know, if you need to make arrangements, but nobody's here to supervise your children, and we're not just going to let them come in and roam around when nobody's here to officially supervise them. So we have kind of a holding, we have security entrances at all our school where you have a small lobby, and then you have doors that you have to check into to get actually into the building. So we told them that for the end of the year, if they came before 7, they could stand in that little lobby area, which is a little warmer, but that the doors to the actual building would be locked until 7, and that next year, and this has been sent out to parents over and over, they will not even be able to do that. There will be no doors open until 7 o'clock. And the liability is that, you know, if we've made it, and we've told the parents, and we've made it clear, and we've put it in newsletters, if something happens to one of the children because their parent dropped them off before there was supervision, it shouldn't be a case. It shouldn't be our problem. Now, do attorneys find ways to sue school districts right and left whenever they possibly can? Yes, but we should be completely covered. And, again, it's about safety. You know, parents have to be just as diligent about their own children's safety as the school does. And we can't allow ourselves to let children just freely roam the building when no one's there to protect them because it's more convenient for the parent to get to work at a certain time. You know, somebody has to... You know, it just is what it is. You can't do that. So I anticipate a few problems with that. But even since all this, you know, little things, like I have kids sometimes in guidance class that want to sit up on the table or they want to sit up on the desk. Typically, that's not a problem for me. But I've found now that any time I want to say, okay, everybody sit in their chairs for this or we're in a certain way, I just throw, you know, it's all about school safety, boys and girls. And it's no longer a power play. I just say, all that safety, you know, we're all that safety now because all the kids know. And so every time I have to correct somebody, I make it all about safety because really it is. But it's not just me. It's so permeated now into their homes and the news and the schools that it's really not my bag. It's the whole district is promoting safety. We have to wear, every teacher has to wear their laminate and name tag everywhere they go in the building. We have to lock every door. All of our classroom doors are locked at all times now, which is a real inconvenience, but that's the way it has to be. When a kid, we have always had walkie-talkies for when teachers take their kids out to recess, but a lot of times they would prop a door open for a 10-minute recess. There is no more propping doors open for any reason. Children aren't supposed to, they cannot sit out in the halls by themselves to do makeup work. There is none of that. You cannot sit out in the hall by yourself. You have to. There has to be a couple of kids out there, or the teacher has to find a quiet place within the classroom. And there's a lot of little things that are really, that can be inconvenient. But yeah, that's kind of what we're having to do. So those are some of the things that we have to sort of implement.
Yeah, we've gone through the same thing out in our area, as well. And the other thing too is what our school. With not so much with high school because they're older kids, but with the elementary schools, because there's a lot of after-school programs, and they're like for example, my daughter's in choir, and they only do choir on Tuesdays. And it's really easy to go, oh, yeah, she's in choir, and lose track of time because it's not your normal schedule to go pick her up, you know, go to pick her up from school, and she doesn't ride the bus.
Right.
And there's been a few times I'm, like, on the phone, or I'm, you know, engrossed in, you know, work from home, and my phone will ring, and they're like, your daughter's here. It's 10 minutes after you should have picked her up from choir. I'm like, ooh, whoops. I mean, I've only done that twice this year, but it was twice too many, and I was really grateful that the school called, but they've been sending out letters saying, you know, we're not going to be sitting around here after school, you know,
right,
for this. You guys, you know, and it's true. I mean, you know, what I do now, because after it happened the second time, I was like, that's it. I have, you know, where I can have a bazillion alarms on my phone to let me, you know, to go off. And so I have an alarm.
Right.
When it's Tuesday, I have an alarm that goes off every Tuesday to let me know it's 5 minutes before 4 o'clock so I can go stop what I'm doing and go and get her.
you know.
And I mean, it's all a parent has to do. It's that simple. You know, so my daughter's safe, and I definitely don't want her walking home because we have a busy street that's right there by the school. And, you know, not that I'm in a non-safe area, but, you know, it's usually those areas that's where the, you know, perps are waiting for your child because, like, oh, not my neighborhood. And I don't want her to be this never happened before child because that would really not be good. So, you know, I think parents have to think about that kind of stuff, you know, and if you have to rearrange your schedule. My husband and I do that a lot. So one of us is there, you know, or we'll ask a really good friend, you know, kind of thing. So I think
it's
great.
It kind of comes with the territory when you have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just have to do, sometimes things are inconvenient when you have kids. That's just kind of how that works. And you do have to rearrange schedules sometimes. But one thing that everybody does need to remember is that, you know, statistically, school is still the safest place for your child to be. I mean, the odds, I think, there was a USA Today article, I believe, that 50 million school children in America, chances are over 1 in 2 million, you know, that something could happen in the sense of some type of a bizarre accident like we've heard about. And we don't want that a tragedy such as a shooting to make, you know, to give this perception that schools are very unsafe and they always have been and they were accidents waiting to happen and that they should have all been prepared for this. Nobody could have been prepared for that. And
right.
I believe that we are always going to have evil in the world, and I think that with all the precautions we are putting in place today, if there is somebody that truly wants to commit an act of evil, they will find a way around everything that's been put up. So I think we can do the best we can do, and we can plan for the accidents that we know happen, like tornadoes and floods, and be aware of children that have allergies and be very aware of bullying situations that can get out of hand and all of that. But crazy people, random acts of craziness like that are not predictable. You know, they're just not. So all you can do is all you can do. I mean, they even told us that, and I found myself thinking, really? But they told us that, you know, the bike racks that kids, when they ride their bikes to school, those long bike racks where the wheel goes in, it looks like a sideways ladder. Well, they said that those need to be moved or chained down somehow because an intruder can lean it up against the building and use it like a ladder. And I'm thinking, really? Number one, how is he going to fling all the bikes out, lean it up against the wall with nobody ever seeing that? But I guess it must have been done, or the thought crossed somebody's mind, because they told us ours had to be secured to the ground. You know, and when you hear some of that, you're like, okay, really, you know, are we out of hand here or what? But I guess it is until the point that somebody does it and climbs up on a roof and comes down through the ceiling and does something to a child. It's just, it's bizarre, and it's really out there, but.
Well, yeah, and that's why I feel like, you know, I'm very excited about, you know, a lot of these programs are going in place. I'm really excited that more schools and, you know, school districts are getting into the having school resource officers into the schools. But, again, you're right. You know, if someone, because I've been following, you know, the whole, and I know it's not a ban gun, it's on assault weapons is what the ban's on, but everybody, of course, is calling it a gun ban. And so everybody's thinking, oh, no, they're going to come and take, you know, my six, you know, revolver. And it's, no, yeah, it's a little bit, it's automatic semi-automatics if they have, like, so many bullets in their case. But the point is, you know, that's the thing. It's that knee-jerk reaction. And as great as it is to, like you're saying, you know, to put bans in place, to lock ourselves down more in schools, this and that, you're right. If someone's going to be crazy, they're random, and they're going to be crazy and random. And there's no, you can't predict that. You can't, unless we're like the show Minority Report, where we're, you know, got somebody who can see into the future and predict someone who's going to create violence. There's no way to stop it before it's going to happen.
No, you can just do what you can do. And in school right now, we're in such a position of having to make sure that, you know, test scores are what they need to be. I mean, they've got to teach. They cannot be, you know, constantly so preoccupied with safety that they lose sight of the real mission of the school, which is another reason that the SRO is a good idea, because they don't have to worry about test scores. They can focus strictly on the hallways and safety. And they, you know, a good teacher is pretty engrossed in what he or she is doing. They're not scoping the halls every 5 minutes and looking out the windows and being paranoid. And it would impede their teaching if they were. So it's a good thing that we, you know, you have somebody that doesn't have to worry about the other. I mean, everybody needs to be aware. Everybody needs to be, you know, on their toes. But we also can't create a paranoia that will, you know, permeate our children and make school a fearful place.
Right. Well, and I know there's going to be some parents and, you know, teachers and counselors, you know, that don't have, you know, the school resource officers in the school, do you think that there, I can just see some of them thinking, well, don't you think having an officer there in the school is going to cause that paranoia? And I don't sense that in my schools at all. I mean,
no, I think it makes kids feel safer.
Yeah,
it takes
I mean,
the whole mystery out of policemen, and they're not the bad guy anymore.
Yeah, because when I've had to walk onto my son's campus when they're in session, you know, to go get them for doctor's appointments or whatever, you know, I know there's a school resource officer there, but the atmosphere doesn't. It's not like it doesn't feel any different than when I was in high school walking on a camp, you know, walking around campus as a teen. You know, I don't feel like kids are like going, oh, I better watch it. You know, I don't pick that up from the kids. I'm sure there's probably a few who are, but that's probably because of the ones constantly getting in trouble. But,
right.
You know,
and I think when
so
you start young, the young ones think that's cool. They think, oh, look, there's the policeman and his gun, and I want to be a policeman, and look how cool he is, and I make friends with him. And doing that early on, then you start out with a positive idea about policemen.
Right. Yeah. No, and like I know our school resource officers because my son ended up unfortunately in a fight waiting to get on his bus one year with another student, and it wasn't the teachers because that's the other thing too, because I know teachers have to be really careful about breaking up fights between students because if you know if a teacher grabs a student too hard, of course, oh no, all of a sudden now the teacher's you know assaulted the child as well, and it becomes this huge old you know scary thing. And so when fights break out on our camp on the campuses, it's the SROs that step in and break them up, and that's exactly who pulled my son and this other student apart was the school resource officer, and that's who called us as well.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the school office, you know, it wasn't his counselor, it was, you know, it wasn't
and that's
teacher.
A nice wake-up call for parents too, isn't it?
Yeah, it was when I got that call.
I
was like, oh my gosh, what? But I was there so quick because I was like, why am I getting a call from an officer about my son? Like, what is going on? You know, I mean, obviously it was just a little, not that I'm by any means saying what the fight my son was in was okay, but you know, it was
but
a minor scuffle.
Yeah, with a police call.
Yeah, and I looked at my son and the whole conversation back was, I didn't even have to say anything. He started telling me what he needed to do differently because the officer we took care of talking to these kids about how could we have avoided this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying that it took, you know, my responsibility off as a parent. I mean, I was planning on doing that in the car, and he just started already telling me. And I was like, okay. It was so nice to, like, have him already, after having that conversation, you know, he took that seriously to where he was like, I know, Mom, I shouldn't have, but da 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 da, you know. And I was like, wow, okay, I guess
yeah,
I don't need to lay into you.
They take it
yeah.
more seriously from a police officer. You know, they're used to getting scolded by their parents, and a lot of times a teacher is a female and it's very much like Mom. But when the police officer wearing the gun tells you to straighten it up, I think there's a whole other level of seriousness that kids understand. It's you know, parents can override police teachers often. Parents can override and tell teachers and principals, you know, you can't spank my child, you can't do this, you can't do that, that's my child. And schools pretty much have to back down. Parents cannot override the law. They cannot override a police officer. There's a little more authority there. And I think that kids know it. I think parents know it, too. If I get, you know, I'd rather hear from the principal than an officer, I think, if my daughter was in trouble. I mean, that's intimidating. you know, that's the law. That's a whole other ballgame.
Right. Well, and the thing is, too, I think, you know, kids realize this officer here, and if they're not thinking this, they should. And parents should definitely take this, you know, into consideration too. They officers talk to each other, even though it's a school resource officer. They go back to the, you know, to the police station when their shift's over and have reports that they have to fill out, just like every other officer does. They talk. I mean, they have their, you know, their annual dinners that they get together for. They have their award ceremonies. You know, they are friends with the other regular officers out there, you know, besides the other school resource officers that they get to know. So they talk to each other. And if there's a child who is on one, you know, school resource officer's radar, the other ones in that whole entire, you know,
community
area
are going to know. Even the ones on the streets are going to know.
Yes, they're going to know. And so, you know, and I, my son picked that up really quickly. He's like, you know, and like I said, you know, it's because we went in and we were like, hey, you know, this is our son, da da da. And he's like, oh, and you know, and of course, it's like, and I know your dad. And so when you and my son got the added, you know, because I know your father, you have more on your shoulders because you're not just here as you, you're also here representing your family, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he got the whole lecture about, you know, his shame is not just his alone. It will ricochet all the way through the family because of, you know, of what his dad does. And, you know, It weighed on him. You know, he looked at it like, wow. And I'm like, yeah, because anything you do, it will get back. It will get back to us, and it will get back to everybody we know because Dad associates with these guys. He works with these guys, you know. So, yeah. But I think it's a great thing. I'm glad you guys have him out there because, and I think I really wish we had him in our elementary school. We don't have them yet in our elementary schools. Now, they do show up. I don't want to say that we don't have officers show up in our elementary schools at all. They do show up throughout the week.
Do they still do DARE?
I don't know if they've ever. I know they do a drug prevention program here. I don't think it's the DARE program. I think it's a different one.
It would probably still be because DARE did not get good results, according to all the research. So they stopped using it. But I think the thing was, we didn't want to lose DARE because we didn't want to lose the officer. It was the officer in the building that we liked more so than the program.
Yeah.
You know, was the whole idea that made it cool.
Well, our officers out here, at least by my daughter's elementary school, and I'm sure it's like this with all of them in our school district, but I don't want to say every day, but I see them at least twice to three times a week when school gets out and when school is, you know, starting. There is one of our officers' cars will be parked by one of the, you know, by one of the corners where the kids are going across, you know, doing the crosswalk thing to come onto campus. They will be parked there. And I do see them once a week in the parking lot, so I do know they show up and probably do a check and just ask probably how things are going kind of thing. But they don't have a permanent one in our elementary schools. And I don't know if that's going to change in the future or not. I would love to see that change because – you know, it goes back to what we were just talking about and the fact that having them start off in elementary school, getting to know officers are, you know, good guys and they're there, you know, to help you and, you know, just like everybody else, I think has more of a positive influence on these kids, especially inner city school kids, than if you wait till, you know, they're preteens. Because when they're preteens, they start getting a little bit more, you know, formed opinions that are harder to change, I think. I mean, there's obviously you're still changing, but, you know, they definitely get more opinionated
at that
point.
But they
know
an awful lot,
then,
don't they?
And I remember it didn't start until usually kids were like 14, and then when I was growing up, it was like 12. Now it's like 10 years old. They're like, I know everything, you know. So,
yeah.
But I think it's great.
And
well,
some of their parents allow them to believe they know everything.
Yeah, that's true.
There are
too.
A lot of young ones running the households. That's a whole other show there.
Yeah, that's a whole other show. Well, I'm really kind of sad that we weren't able to get Kevin on our show. We're going to have to try again because I'd love for him to talk more about the program. But there is the podcast that the executive director did on Blog Talk Radio a while ago that you can listen to. And then there's also a TV, there's a couple of TV clips as well of Kevin Quinn, the president of the National Association of School Resource Officers, on their site as well. So you just go to NASRO, which is NASRO.org. NASRO.org. And you can listen to some of that, read some of their statistics on the difference that it has made. I know that they, when I was on the site and kind of looking around, and I should probably go look it up really quick because I don't want to get the number wrong, but I think they're saying how much was it? They said how many they have now nationally in the program. They said there's 3,000 NASRO members around the globe. So that's, you know, that's pretty good.
Do you join as an individual? Is it individuals that join, or is it police departments that join?
I don't know. I think it's either or. So that's why when you hear the 3,000 number, even though it sounds low, I think it's departments, not just, it's not individual school resource officers, it's actual police departments. But they have on here, too, that school-based policing is the fastest-growing area of law enforcement currently right now.
I bet it is.
As well. So, you know, not just schools, but, you know, the law enforcement is recognizing this is a very important thing to have out there. So they're on top of it, and they're aware of it, and they're growing it. And so I think it's a great thing. And hopefully we can get them on here again. I'm kind of bummed it didn't work out, but I'm sure coming back from spring break, it just probably got crazy. So anyhow, but we thank our listeners for tuning in.
We do. We appreciate it greatly.
Yes, so if we can get Nasra on here again, be it the executive director or the president, we will. We may do a special show if we can work it out this month. But definitely tune into us next month in April. Gosh, I can't believe we're almost ready for Easter. It's like this coming weekend.
It's Sunday.
I know. It's just this year is flying by already. It's quarter over. I'm like, wow. It's amazing. But, yes, and Irene was sick, so that's why Irene Roth wasn't with us today. I forgot to mention that at the beginning of the show. And then just so our listeners know what else is going on Blog Talk Radio, because we have a lot happening at the World of Ink Network, we do want to thank Blog Talk Radio for having us as a featured network on their podcast station, because we really enjoy what we do here and all the different topics we have. So our next show coming up is on March 22nd. Oh, sorry, that was the feature. Our featured episode actually is at Storytime Gather Around with J.D. Holliday from March 22nd. That's our featured on our page. That's why I saw that first. That's our featured show right now on our main show page, so you can always go check that out. That's a great show, by the way. She has authors come on and read from their books to the kids on that show. So that's always a great show. Yeah, very cool show. All right, so I'm on the right page. All right, so Marcia Casper Cook has A Good Story is a Good Story on March 29th. So that is Friday. And that will be at 5 p.m. Eastern time. She is going to have Abigail Carter and Kelsey Nelson on that show. And Rick Poulsen will be on the show as well. Rick is the author of Making a Superstar, and I don't have the whole thing, so I'm going to open it up so I can see the whole description here. It's Making a Superstar. Where am I at? I can find it. No, I lost it. See, that's what happens. It gives me the little short bio thing, and then I get, like, everything that pulls up. Anyways, but they're going to be, Making a Superstar Company. There you go. His book will help authors and small business owners, so it's going to be a really great show for that. They're going to be talking about different ways to successfully advertise your business and market your books and products, so you'll want to tune into that. And then Kelsey and Abigail, who will also be on the show, they're co-founders of Writely, and that's for the new and self-published renovation that's happening right now for the publishing industry, so you want to check that out. Marcia always has really great shows for those who are into writing, publishing, screenwriting, all that kind of stuff. She just has great shows about that. And then I think that's our only show for this week. And then we go into next week. So we'll be actually into – oh, no, I'm sorry. J.D. Holliday will have a show on March 30th, so this coming Saturday. And that's it, Storytime Gather Round. And she will have two stories being read on that show by author Amanda Kebeck. So you want to tune into that. And then we won't have a show on April Fool's Day. There will be no show that day. So if one pops up, it really is a joke. And But Marcia on April 2nd will have A Good Story is a Good Story, which is her normal Tuesday that she does that show. And she's going to have a bunch of authors from World Castle Publishing on there. She'll have two very successful authors on there, Kathy S. Barton and Charlotte Blackwell, so you want to tune into that. World Castle Publishing does a lot of contemporary and romance type literature, is what they do, so that will be a good show. And that's all we have up right now. but I'm sure we'll have more shows, of course, planned in April. So we thank you for listening. And it's been great having you back on, Keisha, because we haven't had a show in a while. So it was great being on the show together.
Good.
Yes.
Happy Easter.
Yes, everybody have a happy Easter and a safe holiday. And those who are on spring break this week or next week, please be safe and be smart. We know it gets crazy, and all those college kids like to go party, but be smart about that. And we'll catch you next month in April. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Follow me to the world of Inc.